has joined.
Brandilla
has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will begin with Hashem Yehud, and then we will study the second Aliyah from Parasha Vayikra. Hashem Yehud Kutchabrichu Ishkinte Bit Kilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Liakta Alashem Yode Babavhe Beyehuda Shalim Beshem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Elena Maseya Deno Kanane Elena Maseya Deno Kananehu. The second Aliyah begins with Leviticus chapter 1, verse 14, and completes with chapter 2, verse 6. This is a total of 10 verses. We know the number 10 connects to the 10 Sephirot. Verse 14. Min ha'ofo la karbano la Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohewahe dawanu heyo Wehi kriv min hatorim O min b'nei hayona et karbano Wehi krivo Kohen el hamizbeach umalak et rosho v'yiktir hamizbeacha benim tzadamo al kir hamizbeach v'hesir it et murato benotata v'hishlich ota etzel hamizbeach kedma el mekom hadashen v'shisa oto biknafav lo yavdil v'hiktir oto hakohen hamizbeacha Al ha'etzim asher al ha'esh Olahu ishe re'ach nicho'ach L'adonai yo'he'wahe adanu yo Yo'ahe dawanu he'yo Verse 1.
Venefesh ki tachriv karban mincha la Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohewahe dawanu heyo. So let ye Yehiye karbano v'yatzak alecha, shemen v'natan alecha levona. Weheviya el b'nei acharon ha-kohanim, v'kamatz misham elokum tso misalta umishamna. Al kalivona ata v'yiktir ha-kohen ed haz b'karata ha-mizbecha ishe reach michoach la-adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu he yo v'hanoteret min ha-mincha le'acharon ulvanav kodesh kadashim me'ishe Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu he yo v'kitach rev karban min ha-ma'afe tanur solet ha-lo ha-so-belutot v'ashemen ur-ike v'ashemen v'im mincha al ha-machavit al ha-machavat karbanecha solet belula v'ashemen matza tihye patot ota pitim v'yatzachta alecha shamen mincha yuhi. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. Verse 14. And if his sacrifice to Hashem is a burnt offering from birds, he shall bring from turtle doves or from young doves. So why is, now that it's limiting the sacrifices of birds to these particular species, which we know that the dove is a species that mates for life, which is an indication of chesed within the bird. So we understand why that is, but why didn't it say this at the beginning, in the first aliyah? Verse 15. And the Kohen shall bring it near to the altar and nip off its head and cause it to smoke on the altar. And its blood shall be pressed out upon the wall of the altar. And he shall remove its crop along with its entrails and cast it next to the altar on the east side, to the place of the ashes. I'm not sure what the crop is. Crop of a bird, we'd have to look that up. Verse 17, and he shall split it open with its wing feathers, but he shall not tear it completely apart. The Kohen shall then cause it to go to smoke on the altar on top of the wood which is on the fire,
a burnt offering, a fire offering, a pleasing fragrance to Hashem. As we said yesterday, this phrase is, Hashem doesn't have any nose. He does sense, he has senses, obviously. So those senses can say something about the smoke. But what is the spiritual lesson of these techniques, of these phrases, which are being repeated, a pleasing fragrance to Hashem? Chapter 2. And if a person brings a meal offering to Hashem, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil over it and place frankincense upon it. Frankincense is a spice that's part of the Ketoret, which brings us closer to Hashem. And he shall bring it to Aaron's descendants, the Kohanim, and from there he shall scoop out his fistful of its fine flour and its oil, in addition to all its frankincense. Then the Kohen shall cause its reminder to smoke on the altar, a fire offering, a pleasing fragrance to Hashem. Sometimes it tells us that it's Aaron who's doing it. Sometimes it's saying his son Eliezer is doing it. And sometimes it says Aaron's descendants.
Has joined.
Language. Verse 3. And what remains of the meal offering shall belong to Aaron and to his descendants. Holy of Holies from the fire offerings of Hashem. And if one brings a meal offering baked in an oven, it shall consist of unleavened loaves of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers or anointed with oil. So on the one hand, you can bring a meal offering that's flour unbaked, but that flour has to be mixed with the oil and the frankincense. Or you can bring a baked meal offering that you bake yourself in your own home oven and then bring it to the temple. At least that's what's implied by this verse. What is the difference spiritually between the two? And the meal offering on a pan is your sacrifice. It shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. It shall be unleavened. So if you're baking it at home, it has to be matzah. It has to be limited to 18 minutes of baking. Break it into pieces, and you shall pour oil over it. It is a meal offering. That's the completion of the reading. Does anybody have any questions? Turning to the Perek Shirah, we are on Chapter 6, I believe. Chapter 6 is on page 14. Shiratim Omrim Yismach Yisrael Beosav Bene Tzion Yagilu Bimalechas. This verse comes from Psalms. Nun Aleph Yehi Kavod Adonayo Hewahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Leolam Yismach Adonai Yo Hewahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Bemasav. The second verse comes from Psalms as well, but a different location. The creeping creatures are saying, "Let Israel rejoice in He who made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King." That's the first verse. Praising. Israel and then the children of Zion. There are two different, praising Hashem, really, telling Israel to praise Hashem. And then it's saying the effect of that is going to relate to the children of Zion. Well, what is Zion? Some people say it's Jerusalem. The Kabbalists teach us that it's the upper Jerusalem. The upper Jerusalem represents that middle point between the spiritual and the physical. And it's through that middle point that the flow of Shefa takes place. And what is the difference between the word Israel or the name Israel and the children of Zion? It's saying that this is an alternate version, meaning these are two different verses that are essentially saying similar things. May the glory of Hashem endure forever. May Hashem rejoice in His works. We see Hashem's name twice in the second verse. Why? Because is it indicating a different level, just as the concept of Israel and the children of Zion are two different levels? And then we have to ask, why are creepy creatures praising Hashem? Because creeping creatures are from the negative system. Or at least that's the way human beings perceive them. Nobody wants creeping creatures in their home. Looking at the word, its root is Shin Resh Ayin. Ayin connects to wisdom. Resh is the head. And Shin is passion, which is related to Bina. So the head represents Chachma, Bina, and then we have the third letter, which is the Ayin, which is also wisdom. So you also could be, the Rosh is wisdom, the Ayin is wisdom, and the Shin is Bina, connecting to the left column and passion. So we should see these three levels as very high levels, even above our physical world. And yet these creeping creatures are what human beings find. We think of them as part of the negative system. But the Hebrew word, the essence of these creeping creatures, we would not be able to say that. Eilim Shebatraim Omrim Asher Techa Tegefen Boria Biarchevte Betecha Banecha Kishtile Zatim Saviv L'shulchanach. This is a verse from Psalms. Their prolific creeping creatures are saying, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your house, your children like olive shoots around your table. Olive, we know, connects to wisdom, chokmah. Your wife being a fruitful vine is an indication of this concept of the prolific creeping creatures. But the word for being translated as prolific, well, is the word elim, which would be essentially the plural for alai, elevation. The next word in Hebrew is shebashratim, which is the same root as the creeping creatures, shin resh ayin. But it begins with a shin at the beginning, which is passion, and the bet, the house, at the beginning. And the verse is being translated as saying, the recesses of your house. What is the concept of the recesses of your house? Your house is a place of concealment. The house is a place. Many times the word bait, house, refers to your wife, to the female aspect of the souls. So we can understand these verses, and we can understand why they're being said by these prolific creeping creatures. Yet the essence of the prolific creeping creatures is very difficult to truly understand. And why is that different than creeping creatures? What is the difference? The difference is the amount of eggs, the amount of animals that they bear, that they grow. Do they do it one at a time or many at a time? Nachash omer somech Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo L'kol hanoflim L'zokef L'kol hakefufim. This is a verse from Psalms. The snake is saying, Hashem supports all the fallen and straightens all the bent. Why is the snake saying this? The snake is the the epitome of the negative system. There's Satan, and he rides upon the snake. The snake was humanoid, and then he was cursed to crawl on the ground and eat dust. How is that a curse to eat dust? You never go hungry because there's so much dust around. But the real essence is if you don't have a reason to call on Hashem because you're never hungry, you're really being, it's an indication of being far from Hashem. But still, the snake was created by Hashem. But what people don't know, then they become fearful of snakes, the physical animal, that snake is never allowed to bite anyone unless that decree was issued by a Bet Din, by a court, the spiritual court. Now let's look at the verse itself. It's very powerful. Hashem supports all the fallen. This is a famous verse because it's true. The fallen means that someone has made a mistake and has fallen spiritual. But Hashem is still supporting them, still hoping they will return through teshuvah. I don't mean hope in Hashem's language, I mean hope in human language. Hashem's mercy is upon all of his handiwork. Once you support, there's a difference between the support of something and the injection of mercy. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong place. And straightens all the bent. This is a Kabbalistically, the straightening represents direct light, can be also returning light. But straightening all the bent is healing all the mistakes. That's the completion of this morning's reading. Does anybody have any questions? We will have 4 classes this today, continuing. We have the connection to the second day of Nisan, which will happen in a half hour at 8 o'clock West Coast time. At 11 o'clock West Coast time, we will be continuing our class in the evolution of Hashem. At 4:30, we will have a deep Zohar class, where I believe we're starting a new chapter, new section. And in 7 o'clock class will be an essay by the Ari. I hope you'll join us for one or all of these classes. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nope.
Thank you.